Hi, my name is Junior.
Hi, my name is Benny.
Welcome to Chicken In, Chicken Out,
a radio show about the Elgin County Library.
I hope you enjoy the show.
I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out.
Thanks to Benny and Junior for their introduction to the show. I'm Julie Berry here at CHPD 105.9 DeBrigg. It's December. Let's hear it for the last month of the year, for the month when Christmas comes and kids who go to school get two whole weeks off. It's the month when Christians celebrate the birth of Christ and when African Americans celebrate Kwanzaa and Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah. But this week, here at Check It In, Check It Out, we are going to celebrate tamales. I know you guys. Tamales don't have much to do with Christmas in December. But I found this terrific book at the library called The Three Tamales, and I just have to read it. It's so good. And tamales are interesting. Did you know that they have been around for thousands and thousands of years? They were eaten by the Aztecs and the Mayan people in Central America and South America. When the Spanish conquistadors arrived in the Americas, they found tamales here, there, and everywhere. Tamales are like sandwiches because they are a delicious food that travels well. What I mean is they are small and neat and well-packaged little units of food. In our first story tonight, the tamales can walk and talk. They are very, very cute. Find yourself a nice, cozy place to curl up and get all warm and snuggly. The Three Little Tamales by Eric A. Kimmel. Illustrations by Valeria DoCampo. Once upon a time in Texas, there lived a couple known to all as Tio Jose and Tia Lupe. Tio Jose and Tia Lupe owned a taqueria, a little restaurant. Everyone said that Tia Lupe made the best tortillas and tamales in all of Texas. Every morning she wrapped the tamales in corn husks and steamed them in a pot. When they were done, she put them by the window to cool. One day, three little tamales saw a tortilla rolling by. "Where are you going?" they asked the tortilla. "I'm running away," the tortilla told them. "If I stay here, someone's going to eat me." "You'll be eaten too. You'd better run." "We don't want to be eaten," the three little tamales said. They decided to run away together. They jumped out the window and ran down the road before anyone knew they were gone. The first little tamale ran until she came to the prairie. She breathed in the smell of sagebrush. "I want to live here," the first little tamale said. She built herself a little house, a casita, out of sagebrush, and moved in. She went to sleep that night, surrounded by the sweet smell of sage. The second little tamale ran until he came to a cornfield. He listened to the rustling corn stalks. "That sounds like music. I want to live here," the second little tamale said. He built his casita out of corn stalks and moved in. He went to sleep that night, listening to the music of corn stalks. The third little tamale ran until she came to the desert. She saw cactus bristling with thorns. "Cactus will make a strong house. The thorns will protect me," the third little tamale said. She built her casita out of tough, prickly cactus and moved in. She slept soundly that night, protected by cactus. The three little tamales lived happily for a time. Then, one day, who should come trotting by but Señor Lobo, the big, bad wolf. The first little tamale saw him coming. She ran inside her sagebrush house and shut the door. Señor Lobo walked up to the house. He looked in the window and said, "Señorita Tamale, por favor, I want to come in, so open the door." The first little tamale replied, "Señor Lobo, muy lindo, I'm sorry to say, I won't let you in, so please go away." Señor Lobo answered, "I'll huff and I'll puff like a Texas tornado and blow your casita from here to Laredo. Then he huffed and puffed until he blew the sagebrush casita to pieces. But the first little tamale got out just in time. She ran to her brother's house, the one made of corn stalks. The second little tamale saw her coming. He opened the door and let her in, just as Señor Lobo arrived. Señor Lobo walked up to the cornstalk house. He looked in the window and said, "Señor Tamale, por favor, I want to come in, so open the door." The second little tamale replied, "Señor Lobo, muy guapo, I'm sorry to say I won't let you in, so please go away." Señor Lobo answered, "I'll huff and I'll puff like a Texas tornado and blow your casita from here to Laredo." Then he huffed and he puffed until he blew the cornstalk casita to pieces. But the two little tamales escaped just in time. They ran to their sister's house on the desert, the one made of cactus. The third little tamale saw them coming. She opened the door and let them in just as Señor Lobo arrived. Señor Lobo walked up to the cactus house. He looked in the window. He knocked on the door. "Ow!" he yelled as the cactus thorns struck him. Then he said, "Señorita tamale, por favor, I want to come in, so open the door." The third little tamale replied, "Señor Lobo, muy tonto, I'm sorry to say I won't let you in, so please go away." Señor Lobo answered, "I'll huff and I'll puff like a Texas tornado and blow your casita from here to Laredo." "Go ahead and try. I don't think you can," the third little tamale told him. That made Señor Lobo angry. He huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed. He huffed and puffed until he was out of breath. But the little casita never budged because the cactus was tough. Its roots were strong and its long, sharp thorns were woven tightly together. "I know what I'll do," Señor Lobo said. "If I can't blow this house to pieces, I'll climb down the chimney. The three little tamales will never know I'm coming." But when Señor Lobo climbed on top of the house, the cactus thorns pricked his paws. "Ay, ay, ay," he yelped as he tiptoed across the roof. "Señor Lobo is on the roof. He's coming down the chimney. What will we do?" "We better run," cried the first little tamale. "We better hide," said the second little tamale. "No, we won't," said the third little tamale. "I'm not afraid of Señor Lobo. I know a better way to deal with him than running away and hiding." She told the others her plan. They agreed to help her. The three little tamales filled a pot with water and set it on the fire to boil. They heard Señor Lobo climbing down the chimney. "Ay, ay, ay!" he yelled. Splash! He fell into the pot of water. Clang! The three little tamales covered the pot with an iron lid.
"Let me out!"
Señor Lobo howled. "No, we can't," the three little tamales replied. "We're cooking wolf tamales for dinner."
"I don't want to be a tamale,"
Señor Lobo yelled. He jumped out of the pot, climbed back up the chimney, and ran across the roof. He didn't let the cactus thorns slow him down. He ran until he was out of sight, and he never came back. Señor Lobo was gone for good. The three little tamales never had to worry about him again. So they had a fiesta and invited all their friends to celebrate. And who were the friends who came to the fiesta of the three little tamales? Why, the runaway tortillas, of course. Our next story is also about tamales, but these tamales don't walk or talk or dance at fiestas. Sometimes if you really like a particular food, it's impossible to imagine that you might have too much of it. Think again. Too Many Tamales by Gary Soto. Illustrations by Ed Martinez. At the beginning of the story, Maria is helping her mother make tamales because the whole family is coming for a Christmas visit, and their first meal will be a big plateful of delicious tamales. When her mom steps out of the kitchen to talk on the phone, Maria decides to try on her mom's beautiful diamond ring. The ring accidentally comes off in the dough, and Maria doesn't notice and doesn't remember until much later. A few hours later, the family came over with armfuls of bright presents. Her grandparents, her uncle and aunt, and her cousins Dolores, Teresa, and Danny. Maria kissed everyone hello, then she grabbed Dolores by the arm and took her upstairs to play, with the other cousins tagging along after them. They cut out pictures from the newspaper, pictures of toys they were hoping were wrapped and sitting underneath the Christmas tree. As Maria was snipping out a picture of a pearl necklace, a shock spread through her body. "The ring!" she exclaimed. Everyone stared at her. "What ring?" Dolores asked. Without answering, Maria ran to the kitchen. The steaming tamales lay piled on a platter. "The ring is inside one of the tamales," she thought to herself. "It must have come off when I was kneading the mesa." Dolores, Teresa, and Danny skidded into the kitchen behind her. "Help me," Maria cried. They looked at each other. Danny piped up first. "What do you want us to do?" "Eat them," she said. "If you bite something hard, tell me." The four of them started eating. They ripped off the husks and bit into them. The first one was good. The second one was pretty good, but by the third tamale, they were tired of the taste. "Keep eating," Maria scolded. Corn husks littered the floor. Their stomachs were stretched till they hurt, but the cousins kept eating until only one tamale remained on the plate. "This must be it," she said. "The ring must be in that one. We'll each take a bite. You first, Danny." Danny was the youngest, so he didn't argue. He took a bite. Nothing. Dolores took a bite. Nothing. Teresa took a big bite. Still nothing. It was Maria's turn. She took a deep breath and slowly, gently bit into the last mouthful of tamale. Nothing. "Didn't any of you bite something hard?" Maria asked. Danny frowned. "I think I swallowed something hard," he said. "Swallowed it?" Maria cried, her eyes big with worry. She looked inside his mouth. Teresa said, "I didn't bite anything hard, but I think I'm sick." She held her stomach with both hands. Maria didn't dare look into Teresa's mouth. She wanted to throw herself onto the floor and cry. The ring was now in her cousin's throat, or worse, his belly. How in the world could she tell her mother? "But I have to," she thought. She could feel tears pressing to get out as she walked into the living room where the grown-ups were sitting, talking. She could feel tears pressing to get out as she walked into the living room where the grown-ups sat talking. They chattered so loudly that Maria didn't know how to interrupt. Finally, she tugged her mother's sleeve. "What's the matter?" her mother asked. She took Maria's hand. "I did something wrong," Maria said. "What?" her mother asked. Maria thought about the beautiful ring that was now sitting inside Danny's belly and got ready to confess. Then she gasped. The ring was on her mother's finger, bright as ever. "The ring!" Maria nearly screamed. Maria's mother scraped off a flake of dried mesa. "You were playing with it," she said, smiling gently. "I wanted to wear it," Maria said, looking down at the rug. Then she told them all about how they'd eaten the tamales. Her mother moved the ring a little on her finger. It winked a silvery light. Maria looked up and Aunt Rosa winked at her, too. "Well, looks like we all have to cook up another batch of tamales," Rosa said cheerfully. Maria held her full stomach as everyone filed into the kitchen, joking and laughing. At first, she felt like crying as she kneaded a great bowl of mesa next to Aunt Rosa. As she pumped her hands up and down, a leftover tear fell from her eyelashes into the bowl, and for just a second rested on her finger, sparkling like a jewel. Then Rosa nudged her with her elbow and said, "Hey, Nina, it's not so bad. Everyone knows that the second batch of tamales always tastes better than the first, right?" When Dolores, Teresa, and Danny heard that from the other side of the room, they let off a groan the size of 24 tamales. Then Maria couldn't help herself. She laughed, and pretty soon everyone else was laughing, including her mother. And when Maria put her hands back into the bowl of mesa, the leftover tear was gone. I am fond of tamales, but if I had to eat a platter full, let's just say it would not be a good thing. One thing my funny bone can't get enough of is knock-knock jokes, and here is one about another food I am very fond of. Knock-knock. Who's there? Donut. Donut who? Do not open your gifts until Christmas Day.
Check It In, Check It Out is made possible through the generous support of
the Elgin County Library
and the Mennonite Community Services of Elmer, Ontario.
Thank you, Lisa and Esther Harms, for doing the credits for our show. Thank you to Benny and Junior for introducing the show. You've been listening to Check It In, Check It Out at 105.9 Radio DeBrigg. Coming to you from Elmer, Ontario. I'm Julie Berry. Thanks for listening.
Good day, and welcome to Check It In, Check It Out, and radio program for Kenya by the Elgin County Library. I hope you have this program geglecht. Ich bin Mary Ham, and ich schaffe by the Elmer Library. We have a library in Straffordville, Springfield, and Port Burwell, and you can crack die what you want for. They sind alle new up. The opener stunden sind on the library deren to sein. You can phone nen dot phone number as 589-631-1500 extension 809 wann du noch mehr information fehlt. Bitte kommt nan und seid wat wir han in unser libraries zum Junt und Juni Familie mit helfen.
Out the door we danced and sang, the whole library rang. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. I'm going down to the library.